Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to You, Me, Them, Everybody. Welcome to the Wonderland Ballroom. My name is Brandon Weatherby. Please put your hands together for my favorite house band slash accidental racist, Ian Graham. For the listener at home, what Ian just played perfectly fits the setting of this talk show. Welcome to David Lynch's Wet Dream. It's a fun experience. I'm bathed in red and I'm wearing a suit. This is how the world ends and or begins. I'm not sure. I haven't read the Bible in a while. Racism was over on Tuesday. Ladies and gentlemen, the greatest song of all time has finally been released. It's been in the ether for years. But these two fantastic men, one wears a do-rag and one wears a cowboy hat. How do I know this? They tell you in the lyrics. These two men have gotten together, and they've released a song called Accidental Racist. Now, if you haven't heard this song, don't worry. We're going to be talking about it for the next 40 minutes. We're going to change the world again. Now, Tuesday was the day that that song was released. Brad Paisley's new album has this just gorgeous, gorgeous melody and beautiful lyrics, and it changed everything. Now, that was on Tuesday. Today, April 12th. 2013, racism was reunited, finally, when Lindsay Lohan and Cat Williams are starring together in Scary Movie 5. Give it up for Scary Movie 5, everybody. Yeah, we could do it together. That did not get nearly as long as an applause break as I thought it was going to get, but that's okay. That's okay. I don't know if you guys know this, but everyone knows Lindsay. She's a person, and she's... Have you guys seen Spring Breakers? All right, she's alien, if that makes sense. Lindsay Lohan is alien from Spring Breakers, but a lady. There you go. You're with me, buddy. Now we're best friends. That's how it works. For those of you that haven't seen it and or don't know who Lindsay Lohan is, it's sad. It's a pretty girl with horrible parents, and that's it. It's whatever. She exists. She's in that movie. And the other guy is Cat Williams. Now, Cat Williams has been brought up on this show many times because not only is he a comedian, but he's the voice of a generation. Not 2 months ago, Cat Williams retired from stand-up comedy while wearing a Kurt Cobain t-shirt and crying in the rain in Seattle. This all happened. Now they are starring in what inevitably will debut in the top five movies of the week. And that just makes me happy. We went from post-racial Obama, thanks a lot, Obamacare, ruining the country, back to really racist stuff when you say socialism in a way that means racist. And then to just beautiful country rap, everyone's favorite genres, smash cut together, and back to Scary Movie 5. And ladies and gentlemen, You, Me, Them, Everybody is... No, this is essentially the color commentary of Scary Movie 5. We have fantastic guests tonight. We have two guests. One of them is they're both comedians, and one of them is also a journalist. And we're going to talk about racism because that makes everyone very comfortable in a bar. It's the one thing everybody likes to talk about. It's going to be so great. We have a comedian from Baltimore who's very, very good that I'm very excited to have here. His name is Stavros, and I'm sure I'm mispronouncing that name. And we have music from a man that's fronting this awesome band called Ugly Purple Sweater. That's the show. I'd like to point out to the listener at home and to the people in the room, I don't know if you guys know this, but the Wonderland Ballroom, where you're at right now, and if you're listening at home, where we're at right now, was named the best singles bar in Washington, D.C. Is that right? Or the best place to... I don't think it was even the best singles bar. I think it's like the best place to find somebody to fuck. Isn't it? Like, that's what this talk show is. We're going to find each other, and we're going to go to a horrible place together, and it's going to be all right in the end. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together once again for my house band and accidental racist, Ian Graham. Yep, that's right. That's what the future sounds like. Thank you, Ian Graham. Ian Graham is in an amazing band called Lenorable. This is going to be a weird show. Let's get this thing going quick. Coming to the stage is a man that I enjoy. He hosts a show at the Blue Banana every single Wednesday night, and we do a segment called Color Commentary. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Haywood Turnipseed Jr. Haywood, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, sir?
I'm great. Now, Haywood, I mentioned this show that you host on Wednesday nights because we're trying to move it here, and I think it's a good idea. But the show that you have
is a variety show.
It's a variety.
It's mostly an African-American audience.
It's a lot of variety.
And it's a mixture of comedy and spoken
and
word.
And rap music.
And rap music.
A lot of variety.
And you said, hey, Ian, house band Ian, who's in a band, Lenorable, you should play this show.
I told him, yeah, hell yeah.
Because you've heard the listener at home and the people in the room. They've heard the music of that.
Yeah.
You think that would fit in really well.
Oh, man, black folks, we love it when young white kids are trying to live a dream.
Exactly.
We get that.
And speaking of young white folks trying to live the dream, let's talk about a song.
Was that accidentally racist?
That was it, yeah! We're going to have about 30 callbacks.
What the fuck is accidentally, anyway?
Okay, so I printed out the lyrics.
That is a nice Slayer pin
that
the people cannot see.
That's brilliant. Thank you.
Okay, for the people at home, he has on a suit and a Slayer pin. He is my hero.
That's all it took?
That and a corduroy tie.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Right on, man.
Now,
let's get weirder.
Okay. Slayer is a lot of people thought Slayer was a racist band.
Weren't they?
No.
I thought all white bands are racist. Hey, yo.
Do you think Brad Paisley is racist?
No, I think Brad Paisley. I like his wife. He's married to a nice chick. I got to start off nice.
Who is his wife?
I don't know. She was some movie star.
Very nice lady.
Yeah, she's pretty, though. She's pretty. She was in a movie I seen. Like, wasn't she, like, the bride?
She was the bride,
She was bride and Father the Bride with Steve Martin.
I don't think so.
She was the daughter and Father the Bride. He's married to that chick. Yes, he is. I know what I'm talking
about. No one Google this. I don't want to know. Let's just keep...
I know what I'm talking about. Somebody with a smartphone.
No one has smartphones. No one has smartphones. No,
apparently smarter than the two of us.
So you like his wife, so that's nice.
No, she's pretty. He's... Okay. The song is Accidentally Racist. It features LL Cool J and Brad Paisley.
Yes, it does.
Exactly, right? What you just said. Woo, woo. I mean, really, you think...
No, that's what you say for ICP, Insane Clown Posse.
No, that's when you say when it's the sound of the police. Whoop, whoop.
That's racist.
That was accidentally racist. Whoop, whoop. No, I mean, they put out this song, Accidentally Racist, and it's just, it's not that the song, I mean, the intentions behind the song are great, and I would never judge another person's art. So musically, I give it credit. However, it's sad.
Why is it sad?
Because it's a country song, one. And it has to be.
I think that's true.
Like a rule for a country song. Even if it's like fast paced, it has to be
sad. A good country song should be sad.
Well, a great country song is terrible. Like Crazy.
That's a great song.
Crazy.
Why is that terrible?
Because she's like crazy in love and her heart is breaking. It's awesome.
Do you know who wrote that?
Willie Nelson.
That's right.
That's right. I smoke him in peace pipe.
Speaking of which, do you want to give a plug to your Twitter account?
Woody C.
Exactly. Okay.
Okay.
So you don't like, you think the song is sad?
No, I think it's sad because it's sad. Well, one, it's sad that people like really got upset about the song. Like, this song, I don't know if you guys have heard, has anybody listened? Okay, so this song.
It's so much better if you haven't. Don't ever listen to it.
Yeah, it's called Accidental Racist, and it's a country song, so you can imagine what it sounds like. It's about a guy who's a southerner who's saying, hey, man, I'm sorry about all that ever happened, but don't judge me for being happy that I'm me. Hey, I like Lynyrd Skynyrd. That's my thing. And then LL comes in and he's like, hey, guess what? If you don't judge my do-rag, I won't judge your Confederate flag.
Why don't we read the lyrics right now?
And it's like, really?
No. Here, you have the part that's in parentheses. Okay?
Okay.
No music.
We can't afford the music. I'm just a white man.
If you don't judge my do-rag.
Coming from the Southland.
I won't judge your red flag.
Trying to understand what it's like not to be. I'm proud of where I'm from.
If you don't judge my gold chains.
But not everything we've done.
I'll forget the iron chains.
It ain't like you and me can rewrite history.
Can't rewrite history, baby.
Okay.
That is from the soundtrack of Django. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah,
perfect.
Yeah.
Now,
you can only play 15 seconds.
That's why here's what I like about this song. I would just, first of all, Haywood, thank you for equating gold chains and slave chains for me.
Yes.
Thank you, Haywood Turnipseed Jr.
No, let's thank LL.
Thank you. No, you. You're representing LL right now.
Oh, okay.
Do you think it's now?
I'll take it.
Now that you've accepted the fact that I'll look past your do-rag.
Yes.
Is everything cool?
We can have a beer and talk about it.
I thought there was already a beer summit. I thought this has already happened.
Well, we'll have a second beer summit.
Okay.
With you and I.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
What kind of beer will you drink?
Blue Moon.
That's a pretty white beer.
That's because I'm standing alone.
When you first heard this, what did you think?
I thought, I was like, wow, this is, they put a lot of work into this bullshit. Because you can't come up with like bullshit like that, like on accident. Like a lot of the great music is like accident. Like, man, like, you know, scrambled eggs, da, 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 so far away. That became yesterday, right? This shit here was just like, yo, let's go in there and change the fucking world, son.
Now, on Tuesday evening, Brad Paisley won on the best talk show ever, hands down, The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. Yeah. To clarify why he recorded this song, and here's what he said. We don't expect to get the answers in this song. It's not perfect, mm-hmm. but it is honest, and it comes from a good place. Now, Haywood, honestly, is it a good place?
Whew, Craig. I'll only rebut that with saying LL went on yesterday.
He did. Do you want to read that quote?
Yes.
It's right here. It's right there.
LL actually said, the intention was to put something out there that causes people to have a conversation. The fact that we're having so many conversations about this song is proof that the song did its job. People are talking about it. No, they're not.
We're talking about it.
We are.
That's all I ever want to talk about is accidental racism.
But they didn't even know what the fuck we were talking about, so...
Isn't it kind of our job? Is this a religion yet? Can we make this a religion? And if so, what do I need to do to become the Pope?
Well, first of all, you got to be Hispanic. Hey, yo, that was accidentally racist.
That was intentional racism.
No, that was an accident. Intentional racism is, man, you look Chinese talking to somebody from Japan.
Can we make that song?
Yes.
Play our song. You're doing really well tonight. I like you a lot better with the drummer.
That was accidentally racist.
So this has changed the world, obviously.
No.
Is there anything you want to add about this song?
My thing is this. You know what? Along those lines, if you won't judge my dreadlocks, I won't judge you when you lock your car doors when you ride through my neighborhood.
That's fair. You thought that was going to land, didn't you?
It was supposed to.
Yeah, it didn't. That's okay.
That's because this audience was accidentally racist.
Do you like Cat Williams?
I love Cat Williams. Yo, that nigga is crazy.
This is the first appearance of the N-word this evening.
Oh, it won't be the last.
Based on the remaining guests, I really hope it is.
Why? Let's get racist on purpose, goddammit. Let's do this shit, son.
Do you want to have a Cat Williams off right now? Do you want to do our favorite Cat Williams lines?
Yes, let's do that.
Okay, you want to go first? You want me to go first?
It's pimpin'.
That's a good one. Hey, everybody, I'm short. That's Shaq's dick on my head. Your turn.
Don't be sorry, ho. Be careful.
I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to say what I'm doing. I just slid across the entire stage and got a standing ovation. That opens his most recent special. Check it out. It's unstoppable. It's amazing.
Nigga!
I can't say the words.
Nigga! I like you white people. I like to thank you white people for leaving our nigga president alone. They don't get it. That shit was hilarious. Y'all missed his latest special. He literally said, thank you white people for leaving our nigga president alone. We love that nigga. Thank y'all. We love y'all. Y'all are accidentally raped. Y'all would have given me a scholarship, don't you? They like, he don't even have to be this black. Blame it on D.C. public school. That's racist.
Yeah, I can't top that one. You're a very funny man. People should follow you on Twitter under the Woody Seed is your name.
They should.
Do you have any plugs?
I always got plugs. I got electric sockets.
It never lands DVDs. When you say these things.
Oh, I think I've got shit to sell because after this, what else is there? Okay, Tuesday we're over at Solly's. Come check out Attack of the Comics. A bunch of comics.
Yeah, it's that open mic that I used to host that I hated.
That's
and I
right.
quit, and I told them they should bring on Haywood, and Haywood actually makes it fun for people.
That he bequeathed it to me.
He's a great host, no joke. You should definitely go, even if you're not a comic, just to see Haywood. I could recommend seeing Haywood.
Aw.
That's true.
Thanks, Philip.
I can't recommend anybody else, but you're very, very, very funny.
Right on. Everybody, that's cool. Yeah, it's a good show. We get over there, we have a good time, and we get racist on purpose. We get sexist on purpose. We do a lot of shit before we take it to the stage that you guys don't approve of, so you should come check it out and see us build our art. That's Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Sometime soon. Well, we'll be doing something on the 27th.
Yes, God we all will be at the Artisphere on April 27th.
Yeah, yeah. And then just check me on Reverb Nation. We got a couple of shows coming up tonight. Oh, tonight I'm going over to the State Theater. So I'll be leaving here to go do some more
Could you not
work.
Do that while you're doing this show? Right, plugging the other show you're about to leave to do?
Oh, man, come on. They won't be. This is on the podcast. They ain't paying attention.
Yeah, the podcast isn't live. You know that, right? Like, it's people aren't listening right now.
Right, so when they hear it on the podcast, they're going to be like, oh,
they'll
that cat is.
Go back in time and go to the State Theater.
They're going to think I'm really doing it as a comedian and not just going home to eat falafel.
You go eat falafel at home?
That's so racist. Because he thought it was fried chicken.
Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Haywood Turnipseed Jr. Dear Mr. White Man, I wish you understood what the world is really like when you're living in the hood. Just because my pants are sagging doesn't mean I'm up to no good. Coming to the stage is a very talented journalist, and she's a very funny stand-up comedian. I was going to say comic, but then I was like, that's a female. She's a comedian. I will not cut that out of the podcast. I will make it weird for everyone at home, too. Coming to the stage, please put your hands together for the very funny Miss Alahi Rezani, everybody. Alahi! Alahi, you've done the show as a stand-up.
Yes.
And there is no better week to have you on this stage so we can talk about accidental racist.
Let's do it.
And other things.
Other things.
Let's talk about other things as well.
There.
You are a journalist.
Yes.
Who do you write for?
National Journal.
You write for National Journal. For the listener at home, if you're not in D.C., you might not know National Journal. National Journal is a well-respected publication that covers politics.
Yes.
You write about kind of the fun stuff in politics. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, and also some serious stuff.
I'm not saying you don't write about serious stuff, but you
don't
also
box me in.
But you also wrote today about the responses to Jay-Z's current song about his visit to Cuba.
Oh yeah, I wrote that yesterday. Yeah,
and you tweeted it out this afternoon. I saw.
Yeah,
it's very good.
Oh yeah.
Now,
thanks.
The day this song came out was Tuesday.
The day the world began anew.
Yes, and I noticed on your Twitter feed, I didn't have an. Oh, I didn't know what you had a show that night. And you essentially said, I don't know what I'm going to talk about on stage tonight. Thankfully, this song came up.
Yeah.
Because you have a bit that's essentially called Accidental Racist.
Oh, yeah, I guess it is.
What is that bit? You don't have to do the bit because that's weird. But like,
okay. Well, basically, I'm Persian. Are you Persian?
Give it up for Persians.
No? That, you know, the thing I love about being Persian is I can just say that and people will be really happy about it. Like, if I were white and I'm like, I'm white, they'd be like, well, I can tell.
Yeah.
They're not going to
applaud. Not in this death lighting, though.
Yeah, no.
We're in hell.
We are in hell. So anyway, I'm Persian, and I had an interesting, again, I'm just going to keep doing that. Maybe I should walk down the street and yell that.
No, you shouldn't.
And then, oh, yo, you're right.
No.
Because of the news.
Because of the news?
Are you paying attention?
What's going on?
There's a lot of stuff going on with my people.
Isn't there always something going on with everybody's people?
Yeah.
This is called local news.
Yeah, this is international news.
International. It depends on where you're reading it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
If you go to Canada, Iowa's news is international news.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Or U.S.
Geography.
News. World Reports.
Very good.
You were saying Persians.
All right.
Lots of stuff going on.
Lots of stuff. Lots of balls in the air. So, all right. I grew up in a mostly white town. Like, I was the stain in the yearbook kind of deal. But, you know, I realized really early on that most of the blatant racism that I was going to face in life was rooted in ignorance. And I like to tell
the story. As opposed to everyone else's racist experience, which is not rooted in ignorance and is rooted in facts.
No, no. I mean, I set it up by saying blatant racism because it was just like, but you know, maybe I need to say it's accidental.
I think you do.
So, you know, I realized this when I was a kid. I was 5. I was in a pool and this group of older white boys swam up to me and
yes.
They just started splashing me in my face and yelling, "Get out of here, Chinese girl, go back to China." Like yelling racial slurs at me. But you know, like I wasn't.
Wait, somebody I heard over there goes like, "That's what you say to your dog."
Oh my God, you're so racist to your dog.
What if it's a Chinese dog?
Oh, then it's fine.
That's true. And it got in a boat to live with you in D.C.
Race is hard. It's really hard to navigate this crazy world.
So you do the bit.
I do the bit.
You do the bit.
Yeah, and I talk about, you know, how I'm not even offended by that. As a child, I remember being just like, public schools are failing you.
Now, how old were you when this happened?
Like, I was 5. This really
happened. You were 5 years old?
Yeah, I was 5 years old.
So from the age of 5 to however old you are now.
Yeah, undisclosed.
Exactly.
Unimportant.
20s.
There you go.
Well, it's important. If you were 80, you'd be like, that sounds like
20s for the listener at home.
There you go, 20. For the listener at home. Now, so for at least roughly 20 years, okay. You've known about accidental racism.
Yeah, I've been living Paisley and LL's message.
Now, you're a Persian female.
Yes.
This is a white man and an African-American man.
Totally.
Do you completely relate to this song or just a little bit relate to this song? Have you heard this song?
Can I just highlight a lyric?
Oh, please. Yes, that's why I printed them out. They're so
good. It's toward the end.
Yeah, it's the second
page.
And
this is the one that everyone really needs to hear. This is LL Cool J going, R.I.P. Robert E. Lee, but I've got to thank Abraham Lincoln for freeing me. Know what I mean?
Now, Elahe, have you ever thanked Abraham Lincoln for freeing you?
See, this is what the great thing is about being Persian, is like, you know, like I studied like a lot of, like, I actually majored in black history, so I studied
Did you
a lot
really?
Of, yeah, so I know what kind of, wait, I know who Robert E. Lee is.
It's a black history fact.
Yeah, it's a black history fact. I know who Lincoln was and what he did.
That's because of the
his
movie.
His role. Yeah, not, okay, so... But, you know, and even like I read about Native Americans and what happened, and I can just be like, my people had no part of this. You know, like that wasn't, we didn't have any skin in this game.
In the same way, though, you didn't make it better.
Sorry?
In the same, yes, you didn't cause that.
No.
But why didn't the Persians help out when we needed them the most?
Fuck.
During the foundation of this great land. Where were you?
Well, I don't know about us, but I know the ladies. the ladies over there were having a pretty rough time of it, you know. So that was fun. But you know what's funny about this whole thing, this country rap thing? Like, this is me. This song is me.
This song is you.
This song is me.
You're a Skinner fan. You wear a do-rag. This is you.
Well, I grew up in the country. And I actually, like, grew up around a lot of country music, but I also listened to a lot of rap growing up. And it was just like...
Who were you listening to when you grew up in the country?
As country music?
Yeah.
It was like Garth Brooks, you know, standard. What's his face?
Garth is
Alan
good.
Jackson.
He's good.
Yeah.
He's good. Do you enjoy this music or you just know it?
No, you know, I hear it... Whenever I hear it, like... If
not
I
so
ever
bad.
Happen upon it again,
in a
it
bar.
Just, you know, it's it reminds me of my
mind you, home.
My youth, my
it's,
home.
It's sort
it
of
resonates.
Like your people's music.
In a way, but I also listen to a lot of like soul and rap growing
now,
up.
Now, what rap groups did you listen to growing up? Are they called groups?
Well, when it's an individual, no.
Okay.
I listened to Dr. Dre when I was a young child.
We all listen to Dre.
Yeah,
it's
all that
Dre
stuff.
Day, man. Dre Day is a national holiday.
Diggable Planets, you know.
Now.
Tribe, all that stuff. Along with Garth. Bring them together.
That's next year's Coachella.
Exactly.
It's just Garth Brooks and Dr. That's a possibility. That's not that funny. That's an actual possibility.
Oh,
now,
my God.
Let's talk about your actual job.
Okay.
Will you write about this song in your actual job? Could you figure out a way to write about this in the National Journal?
I was so desperate to get paid to write about this that I sent out a tweet, please someone pay me to write about LL Cool J and Brad Paisley and rap and country. No bites.
Let's make this happen. We could get Vice. We could get Vice involved. Vice is going to pay you now. We're going to start a Tumblr for Vice just to pay you to do this.
Just
now,
that.
What did you write about today?
What did I write about today? I wrote about guns. Gun control. Are you guys aware of that? Do you know about that?
Yeah, your most recent article was about how more women support gun control than males.
Yeah, more women support stricter guns, gun control.
Is that because not enough women understand the basis
accidental racism?
Of accidental racism and country music and hip-hop?
I think there's my angle.
Yeah.
The other thing I wrote about, do you guys know, Ruth was talking earlier about... Howard University, and Rand Paul visited Howard University earlier this week from where he quoted Toni Morrison.
It was great.
So I just want that to happen
change
every day
the world.
For me. And he actually spoke at another historically black college today in Kentucky.
Seriously?
Yeah. So
no one's reporting that. Thank you, Elahe, for opening...
For the listener at home, I just raised my hand in the air.
What if same speech, same stump speech?
I think he touched on similar themes, but it was a Christian conservative school.
It's a little different than Howard, though.
And I make the case that that's really where he should be going, is places like that.
A Christian conservative college?
Yeah, he's going to be heard out more, I think.
How much do you still like writing about politics, or do you just hate politicians at this point? Do you hate the system? Are you raging against the machine?
I will say that my job is not really, it's only furthered my already existing beliefs about the system.
You can't talk about it.
I'm apolitical, you guys.
For the listener at home, but in reality, you're obviously not.
No, I am.
You're a big Rand Paul supporter. Would you vote for whoever had Brad Paisley?
Are you trying to get me fired?
No, not at all. Trying to get you a raise. Who would you vote for whoever promised a Brad Paisley LL Cool J performance at the inauguration? Because I would.
God.
I would vote for that person.
Can I just say one more thing about this?
No, we're done. No, yeah, of course.
Okay. So I actually, I'm going to go on a limb here. Brad Paisley is actually more self-aware in this song than LL Cool J.
So what? That doesn't make it good.
I'm not saying it's making good, but when I heard
He knows how bad of an idea this is.
No, my point is like, LL Cool J, like, what the hell are you doing?
I'll tell you what he's doing. Dear Mr. White Man, I wish you understood what the world is really like when you're living in the hood. I just told you what it's like for LL.
This is the man who...
Feel like a newfangled Django.
Yeah.
Dodged an invisible white hood.
Remember that song, Pink Cookies in a Plastic Bag Getting Crushed by a Building? That is LL Cool J's euphemism for sex.
No, I don't know that song.
This is a modern day poet who's just like, racism is over. Do we realize
that's
that
pretty
it's,
cool.
it's done? Everyone who marched at Selma and got beaten up, we have this rhyme about Robert E. Lee now.
That's pretty cool. I thought racism was solved with Bad Religion's album, The Gray Race. The only people that like that is the girl I worked in a record store with and the band.
Well,
you have no idea what I'm referencing.
Well,
it's a great album. It's a great album.
You don't know that? No, I really don't.
It's what white kids in the suburbs listen to.
Okay.
It's called Bad Religion.
So we just need to find like the rap equivalent of that and then bring
Atmosphere.
That
he's from Minneapolis.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. Same white kids listen to those guys.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
You're actually a very funny comic.
Thank you.
You've performed at the Improv. We've performed at the Improv, right?
Yeah, I did.
I forgot
did
about
the show there. Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Now we're just catching up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything you want to add about racism? Is it done? Is it good?
Okay, I did. There's one more thing.
There always is. Let's keep going.
Can we talk a little bit about accidental racism? Like, does one fall into, like, oops, like, fall into racism? Like, you show up at a KKK meeting thinking it was a Halloween party that everyone just, like, embarrassingly wore the same ghost costume to? Is that...
That kind of makes sense, actually.
Like, oh!
Yeah, that actually does make sense for accidental racism. I thought it is possible because Modern Family pointed it out last week.
I didn't watch what happened.
It's pretty much when you say something that it sounds like it's a blanket statement, but you don't mean it as a blanket statement. That's it.
I just don't like the word accidental. Like inadvertent, maybe?
It doesn't flow as well.
You become absolved of everything if you're just like, oh, my bad.
You want to end the interview?
Huh?
Do you want to add in the interview? Do you got more?
No.
You're great. I'm sorry. I'm digging through my bag because I got to do this thing.
Oh, God.
It's okay. You could lie.
All right.
This is a question from the Book of Questions, Love and Sex by Gregory Stock, PhD, a truly awful book. I need you to pick a number between 54 and 55.
55.
Perfect. Has your parents' relationship influenced you as a healthy model to imitate or an unhealthy one to avoid?
Okay. It is... I'll go with both.
That's good.
But I'll go with the healthy. I'll just, you know, leave on a positive note. They have owned their roles in their relationship, and they respect the work that each
they respect each other.
Yeah, I think they do.
In a way, they are the accidental racist couple that raised you.
LL is my father, and Brad Paisley is my. Oh God,
that's probably if you had that genetic makeup, you'd probably be very attractive, and an
that's
actor.
Accidentally racist.
No, that's just genes. That's how they're both attractive men. That's not accidental. That's intentional.
Okay.
Could men have babies? Yeah. Yeah. Catch up, Persia. Men can have any babies they want. We live in a new world.
No, but genetically. All right. Catch up, Persia. That was purposeful racism right there.
Yeah. You're a Republican. Now, people can find you where?
You can follow me on Twitter.
At your name.
At
your
my
actual
name.
E-L-A-H-E-I. You're not Woody Seed. You're not, you're not a weed reference as your Twitter handle.
No. Okay. Don't confuse us.
And where's your next show that you want to plug?
I have a show on the 14th at IOTA at 8:30.
And
then
I
have
place.
Another one on the 20th at DC Arts Center, the Capitol Comedy Showcase.
Those are both great places and both good shows. I want to thank Alahe, and I want to give her this Romney Believe in America 2012 sticker. I think she's going to be able to take our country back if she finally stands up for the Persia Believes, everybody. Put your hands together for Alahe Azadeh, everybody. Sometimes when I have a house band, I know I'm only doing it for me and like no one else is going to enjoy it. That's tonight. I am digging this music so much, and it's like the worst transitional music, like, but I fucking love it, man. I'm digging this stuff, man. He's good. Coming to the stage is a very funny man. He comes all the way from Baltimore. That's where racism started. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Stavros Halkias, everybody. Stavros!
Thank you. How's everybody doing tonight? Good? That's awesome. That's good to hear you guys. I want to talk. You know what? I'm going to talk to the fellas in the audience, at the pod, listening at home, barking, whatever that was. Fellas, let's get serious, y'all. Do you ever see a really pretty girl and think to yourself, oh man, the ways I would sexually disappoint her, right? Thank you. No, that's what I thought. The reason I'm sharing, guys, is because that's what I thought the first time I saw my girlfriend. And let me tell you, my prediction was spot on, right? You name the position, I have lacklusterly fucked her in it. And that was before I got fat, too. I know this is a podcast, so I'm a husky gentleman for the listener at home. That was before I got fat, too, guys. And to give you a little, let me give you a visual clue, right? Don't get me wrong, I was never, like, not fat, right? But I was, like, episode 8 of The Biggest Loser, right? Now I'm, like, episode 1, where they're crying on a treadmill. And it's not a good look, you guys. I'm going to be honest with you. The worst part about gaining some weight is when you see someone that used to be fat and they've lost weight, and it's like, oh, somebody doesn't want to die early, right? Show off. And when I see that, it makes me so angry that I want to make a fist. But when I try to, there's something in my hand, and I look down into Choco Taco, and I eat it, and all my problems go away. No, there's definitely some signs that you're gaining weight. One sign that you're getting too fat is when you go out to eat with one of your fat friends, and they start to question your choices, right? Like, I went out to eat with my fat friend Steve, and I was like, hey, Steve, we were at a Chinese buffet. I was like, Steve, you want to get some ice cream after this? And he was like, ooh. You sure that's such a good idea? I don't know, Steve. You sure it was such a good idea to bring you here? Only reason you're here is because I thought you were too fat to judge me. But you fucked that one up, didn't you, champ? Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to go get a soup bowl and put ice cream in it because the ice cream bowls are too small. Thank you. Thank you very much, Steve. No, I don't know. I had to do something I was dreading because of how fat I've gotten. I had to shop at Big and Tall, right? Which I was not looking forward to. Turns out it's great because I was the least fat person in a store for the first time in my life, right? Like, shopping at Big and Tall was like transferring to a high school where I am now the most attractive person. All I'm saying is, guys, if there was ever a Big and Tall Lane Bryant mixer, right? It'd be a pretty hot commodity at that thing. Hey, girl, you want to get out of here? Take off our stretch pants? Right? It would kill him every time. I don't know, though. It's the truth is, the person that's not too happy about my weight gain is my girlfriend. She's not too thrilled about it. She complains about it a lot, which is weird to me, because it's not like you don't study after a test. You know what I mean? It's like you're my girlfriend now. I tricked you. You're sort of stuck, right? But she does. She complains about it a lot. And honestly, maybe she's got a point. She tells me I should change my eating habits, and maybe she's got a point. Because here's a story that happened. I wish it was more fictional, but this is just a thing that happened. Me and my girlfriend, we both had the same meal on the same night, right? She got food poisoning. I had one kind of uncomfortable shit. Do you understand that, guys? My diet is worse than poison. I don't know. The truth is, though, that's not our only problem. It's not just how big I'm getting in my relationship. We've got other issues. We've got communication problems. I think a big issue is that my girlfriend, when something bothers my girlfriend, she doesn't have the decency to just swallow it up and let it eat at her inside like a good person, right? We wanted to talk it out. And that was a problem because we recently had a pregnancy scare, which was not cool, right? Very not cool. And I was really, really happy. I was really relieved when she told me, don't worry, we're not pregnant. But I was also a little offended because of the way she said it. Because she was like, don't worry, we're not pregnant. And I'm really glad because you're way too immature and irresponsible to have a kid right now. It's pretty fucked up, right, guys? Usually I'll let something like that slide, but not that night. That night I was like, immature and irresponsible. The second I come off these shrooms, we are going to talk about who is immature. And I'm going to get off these shrooms. I'm going to get off this trampoline. Take off my wizard costume. And when Boy Meets World goes to commercial, we're going to settle this, lady. There's other stuff. I mean, it's a cliche thing to say, but men and women process sex differently. Like, you know that feeling when you're a little kid, right? And you ate cookies before dinner, and your parents went into the kitchen, and you're freaking out because you don't have time to clean up the crumbs? That's how I feel every time my girlfriend uses my computer, and I haven't cleared out my internet history. Right? Luckily, I was able to convince her that Exploited Latinas was a charity I work for. So we're totally cool. I don't know why I complain about it, though. I don't know why I complain about, like, being in a relationship. Because, like, she's, like, way too good for me. I was never, like, a prize when I was single, right? Like, I wasn't beating them away or anything like that. My biggest problem was the friend zone when I was single. I don't know if anyone's familiar with the friend zone. It's the worst, right? It's one of the worst, real thing, one of the worst, top five worst things in human history. Number one is genocide. Number two is the invention of the atomic bomb. Three is when you go to a restaurant and you think it's free refills. The waitress acts like it's free refills. When you get your bill, you owe like $30 in Coke. That's bullshit. Four is pedophilia. And five is when you're in love with a girl you're just friends with, right? And let me give you an analogy for those of you who don't feel my pain. Being just friends with a girl you're in love with, it's like you're in the desert, right? And you're dying of thirst. And you come across a cool, crisp, delicious water bottle. But instead of drinking from it, you befriend it and talk about its feelings all day long. And then from time to time, perfectly well-hydrated men will come by and fuck that water bottle. No way to live your life. I got a couple more minutes here, guys. I just want to talk to you about just something momentous that happened to me, right? My cousin came out of the closet recently, which is pretty cool, I thought. No, all right. Thank you. No, it was one guy. All right. I thought it was, thank you. I thought it was pretty cool. And I was really I was really happy. You know what I mean? I was really happy for two reasons. Number one, I was just proud of her. Because that's like a really strong thing. It takes a lot of strength to do. And number two, now I get her half of our grandparents' inheritance money. Right? I'm kidding, you guys. Lighten up. We're never going to tell our old shitty grandparents that my cousin's gay. But it is crazy. It is crazy how homophobic some people can still be in like today's day and age, right? Like I did. I went to the gay pride parade with my cousin and a friend of mine, and he said something that I couldn't believe, my friend. He was like, "I don't get it, dude. What do gay guys see in other men? They're hairy and they don't have boobs." I couldn't believe like the backwards way he was looking at it, because everyone knows it's not that gay men are attracted to other men. It's that their parents sinned a long time ago. And God is punishing them with a gay child. Duh. Read the Bible every once in a while, guys. It's right in there. It's in like chapter 3 or something. I'm not. All right, so that happens. That happens sometimes when I tell this joke. Some people aren't too thrilled. And I've had it happen where someone came up to me after I told the joke, and she was like, "You're going to hell," right? She threatened me. She was like, "You're going to hell." And she said it like it was a threat, right? But if, like, religious people are right about hell, then hell is probably a pretty sweet place. You know what I mean? Number one, very tastefully decorated, right? Because of all the gay people, right? Number two, no prudes in hell, right? We're talking second date, tops. Tops, you're getting blown in hell. It just seems it's not a threat, is all I'm trying to say. We'll skip number three. We'll just skip it. She's not going to go. But I don't know. How much? What are we doing here? One more? Okay. I did some comedy for you guys. I'm going to do some characters. Some serious character acting for you right now. This first character is called Ed the Sensitive Misogynist. Ed the Sensitive Misogynist. "I don't want to come on your face. I want you to want me to come on your face." Thank you. That's Ed, the Sensitive Misogynist. My last character will be Ben, the Supportive Homophobe, after his brother comes out of the closet. Ben, the Supportive Homophobe. "Hey, pal, we're going to beat this thing." Thank you, guys. That's my time.
Stavros, sit down, buddy. Very good. Very good.
All right.
Thank you for doing this. I appreciate it. You're very funny.
Thanks, dude.
You actually have a girlfriend?
I do.
Well, how long have you been together?
Like 2 years.
So you're in love?
Yeah.
Do you live together?
No, we don't live together.
Why not?
I don't. Number one, that wouldn't be a good thing.
Why not? You love her. You've been together 2 years. Why not?
I guess it's because she's like a real, like, functioning human being all around.
And you're
a
comic.
I'm a comic, yeah. My life's a mess. I don't like.
Why is it a mess, Stavros? Am I saying your name correctly?
You are. Nailing it every time. I guess it's a mess because I do, like, I mean, if you decide to do comedy, it's like, and you're serious about it, there's really no way to, like, I don't know, love someone as much as they deserve to, or like, keep, I don't know, basic. Maybe it's just me that I'm a shitty person is what I'm realizing as I'm describing this right now. But yeah, it might just be that I'm a shitty, selfish, and lazy person, actually. I redact my statement about comics. It's just I'm a bad guy.
Okay.
All right.
I'm not going to say you're a bad guy. We're not dating. You seem like a very nice man, actually.
Thank you.
You didn't say anything homophobic or sexist or racist.
Nope.
Unlike most comics.
Right.
That are white males.
Right. I'm actually Ethiopian. Now, visual joke. Podcast.
You're actually funny. So when you go to an open mic and you hear fat jokes that are delivered by not funny people, do you have a reaction?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to be like, because, you know, I'm... There's, You're not breaking new ground as a stand-up if you're I'm fat and have trouble with girls.
No. Like, I'm talking about a thin person making fun of fat people, which is at every open mic.
I see what you mean. Yeah. No, that to me is like, oh, you congratulations, you picked on a fucking on a fat person. Like the guy who he's
so congratulations,
got
like you're doing really good.
Right. Yeah. You nailed it. You knocked it out of the park, champ. Because the thing is, it's like we're so helpless us fats. We're just cute chubby guys just waddling around, and it's just when you it's like, all right, you got us, we can't help it, but I don't know, it's like it's just too easy, it's like an easy target, you know what I mean? Same thing when I see the sexist stuff and the homophobic stuff, although I will say, if of all those people, probably make fun of fat people. Like, we could help it, I guess.
Oh no,
we could. I'm not going to, but.
Would you go on Biggest Loser for a bit?
I would fucking love to go on Biggest Loser.
Why?
Because it's like everyone takes it so super seriously. I find it really funny.
You could like parlay it into America's
sincere.
Got Talent. Like,
yeah,
just after
I'm
the
just
first
gonna
week,
go,
like, fuck this.
Right. I'm just going to go from reality show to reality show. Just from the Biggest Loser. I'm on, you know, my talent is not being fat anymore, I guess. and then I just hit Dancing with the Stars, just like snag one of those. Everyone always fucks someone on Dancing with the Stars. Always partners.
Why do you know that?
Just
are you a big Dancing with the Stars fan?
I'm actually not, but I you always hear. I just all right. I'll admit that I'll look at some like gossipy shit on the internet.
Okay.
You know
what's
what
your
I mean?
Favorite gossip site? Let's get to the nitty-gritty.
My favorite gossip site.
Perez Hilton with a Z?
I never looked at Perez Hilton.
He lost some weight.
Did he?
He did.
I you know what I saw with him? He lost the weight and like adopted a kid or something?
I don't know if he adopted a kid.
He
that's,
did.
That's
he
against
adopted,
my
he
beliefs.
Adoption.
Adopting. Just adoption.
All right.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. That didn't land at all. Cut that out of the podcast. <yeah. laughs>
We'll just added some laughs in. We can't do that?
No. Okay, so Stavros, I think you're very, very funny.
Thank you.
You have a girlfriend.
Right.
You live in Baltimore.
That's 3 for 3. Go O's. That's right.
You look like a big sports fan.
I'm a huge
sports fan.
It's the ironic t-shirt
Thank
and the
you.
Weird glasses.
I'm glad you referenced it. Why don't I like Baltimore more?
Why don't you?
Honestly, like every time I go do the show there, it gets weird. And I like the comics there and like the guests there and the bands are very good. But it's weird. I like the venues too.
Right.
What should DC people know about Baltimore?
I guess it's like the nice thing about DC is that there is safety here. Like, right? Like, if you're gonna go to Baltimore, just there's the illusion of safety. Sure, like you'll go to a bar. You'll go to a bar that looks exactly like very similar to this.
Yes.
Right? A lot of same kind of people, right? And you feel like, oh, I know this place. This is Wonderland just north.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes.
That's what you'll think, but like you are always a block away from being mugged, like just at all times in Baltimore. So just go there knowing, just let it, you know how if you go, people go on safari and they feel.
Wait, you're comparing Baltimore to going on safari?
Yeah.
Perfect. Done. All right.
Well, it's like you get this fucking rush from danger. Go into Baltimore like that. Like as a like you're always like if you get out of it, you survive. Like get that rush. You know what I mean? Like look at it as an adrenaline thing. Like
are
bungee jumping.
Are you trying to leave Baltimore anytime soon?
Maybe in a couple. I mean, you gotta go. You gotta move somewhere.
Yeah.
So
well,
probably,
you're funny enough. I hope you do move soon.
Thanks,
no offense
man.
To Baltimore.
Yeah.
One final question. This is from the kids. The Book of Questions, Love and Sex by Gregory Stack, PhD. A truly awful book. This is question 54. Feel free to lie.
Okay.
In what ways, if any, do you use your sexuality to get special treatment from other people? In what ways, either consciously or unconsciously, do your friends or your partners do this?
I think a big thing I do is if I'm like in a long line, I'll just unzip my pants and just leave my dick out, and just it's kind of out there, and I make like it's a mistake, and then I'm like oh, and then it's like and then I'll just like do like a hip thing where it's just maybe like rest my foot on something. And then undoubtedly a very beautiful woman, I'll catch her looking at my dick and I'll be like, oh, I'm so sorry, ma'am. My dick's out. These are new pants. I'm not used to these. And then I'll strike up a conversation, and from there, just I'm getting all kinds of special treatment, just drinks all night. It's a mix of they're really like they're flabbergasted. It's not a big dick, but it's a nice dick. And they're just kind of embarrassed. So it's like we strike up this great friendly rapport based on my dick flapping in the wind.
That might be my favorite answer
yeah.
of the 4 years we've been doing this show.
Thank you.
I don't think anybody else could have said that and gotten a laugh, let alone multiple laughs. I also don't think if you expose your genitalia to anybody, they would be that upset after hearing that answer.
Sure.
You're funny.
Thanks,
where can
man.
People find you on Twitter?
It's at Stav Comedy. And then also my website, stavcomedy.com.
And do you have any shows coming up that you'd like to plug?
I've got a couple shows. I'll be in D.C. two places on Sunday. At 6:30, I'll be at Desperados on U Street. And then I'll also be on that show with Elahe at Iota, Virginia, the 9 something, which would be a great show. And then if anyone is from Baltimore or whatever, I'll be opening for Jim Norton at Magoobie's Joke House.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So,
for those of you that don't know, obviously people in the room know Jim Norton is a hilarious, hilarious comic, and Magoobie's is one of the dumbest names for any comedy
clubs. Yeah, it sucks. It's a great club.
Isn't
but
that the worst?
If the name was the Baltimore Comedy Theater,
it'd be fine.
It'd be like an A room, but no. Everyone fucking shits
Chicago
on
has
it.
Zanies.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah, it's
bad. I don't
bad.
Know why they name them like that.
But that's great. That's a good fitting for you. You and Jim Norton.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
That's going to be awesome. What dates are those?
That's going to be April 19th through the 20th.
That's great, man. Yep. Those are 2 days.
That's yeah. There's not
You could say and.
I'm 19 and a half. We're going to do a show in the middle of those days.
That's not how days
just
work.
Six. Well, all right. I don't want to get into calendars right now.
Thank
your
you
own
so
podcast.
Much for doing
yeah.
this, man.
Thanks,
I really
man.
Appreciate
no,
it. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Stavros Helkias.
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 Yeah.
All right.
All right, cool.
Play them off, accidental racist. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Sam McCormally, right?
Nailed it. Well,
I think I'm you're lying. From one of the best bands in D.C.,
yeah.
Ugly Purple Sweater.
Got nothing to say. Come on in the morning. Go to bed feeling the same way. I know they be tired. Man, I'm just tired and bored of myself. Hey, the baby, I could use just a little help. Can't start a fire. Can't start a fire without a spark. This goes for higher. The message keeps getting clearer. Radio's on and I'm moving around the place. I check my look in the mirror. Wanna change my hair, my clothes, my face. Man, I ain't getting nowhere. Just sit around living in a dump like this. There's something happening somewhere. Baby, I just know there is. You can't start a fire. can't start a fire without a spark. This gun's brighter, even if we're just dancing in the dark. Getting older, there's a joke here somewhere in its own. Threw it over your shoulder. Come on, baby, the last on me. You walk the streets of this town, and they'll be covering you up, all right. They say you gotta stay hungry. Hey, baby, just about starving tonight. I'm ready for some action. Tired of sitting around here trying to ride this bull. I need a love reaction. Come on, baby, give me just one look. You can't start a fire. You can't start a fire without a spark. This gun's for hire, even if we're just dancing in the dark. You can't start a fire. Sitting around crying over a broken heart. This gun's for hire, just dancing in the dark. Oh, oh, oh.
Thank you. I was going to do that as a sound check, and then I got a little carried away. Thanks. As Brandon mentioned, we have a song I mentioned in the Washington City paper this week. Felt pretty cool about it. And it's a song about DCUSA, the shopping mall that's right over here. Well, that's good. That's just a way of me segueing into saying I'm going to play that now.
Yeah.
Ever since the king was shot dead, everything from Ben, our leader, to Willie was burned down. And now it's an acronym, putrid from the stench of no smell. Tubes of glowing gas are all it's standing in for the sun. And by the buff being starred again, plaster over every tiny spell. It's standing in for then, and when we're done, we swear that you won't even recognize this place. But you've got a temper, a temper, a temper, my dear. And I know if they have their way, I never miss a moment plugged in. I never feel a bead of perspiration form on my brow. Oh, the mind is an empty space. Fill it up and watch it get dim. When every black is just the same, I always know where I am. But why are you so sure that when we're done, there will not be a place for you, a place for everyone? And when we're done, I swear that you won't even recognize this place. But you've got a temper, a temper, a temper, my dear. Thank you. And this was an empty space ever since the king was shot dead. Everything from Ben Ali to Tivoli was burned down.
Thank you very much. I'm going to do another song off the EP we put out in January. And this is a song about another D.C. landmark. This one's over on the other side of town. It's the D.C. Central Detention Facility. It's over there at Stadium Armory Metro. But you can't buy, like, fashionable bathroom things over there, unfortunately. Put this man on your show. This is called Central Detention Facility Blues.
I hear the train coming down the orange line. Smoke pot in the parking lot, now I'm doing my time. And you can scoff all you want, it's the exact same crime that you commit in your two-bedroom in the new high-rise. Day I got out, went by the neighborhood, just a pit in the ground for the new high-rise. They said you're moving us back in soon as they make it look good, just in time to forget what it was we were waiting for. And oh, what do you see standing way up there? Oh, what do you hear listening from way up there? No matter what I say, the papers are on your side. Oh, they got no reason to keep me here, so I got no reason to stay. My brother took me to the countryside. When I want trouble, nothing else will suffice. Instead we go down to meet his friend into interpretive glance. She says that, oh, can't you see that time keeps dragging on? And now what about you? Are you on your own? Does your daddy come every time you phone? Does your mama buy your degree, introduce you to all her friends, co-sign the lease on your two-bedroom in the new high-rise? And oh, what do you see standing way up there? Oh, what do you hear listening from way up there? No matter what I say, the papers are on your side. Oh, they got no reason to keep me here, so I got no reason to stay. Oh, I got no reason to keep me here, so I got no reason to stay.
Thanks a lot. I'll do a couple more. Is that yeah? This song is a song called Blue Crab, and when we put it out, I got a Google alert for their band name, letting us know that it had been featured on a blog called Blue Crab News. So if you go to the blog, it was like, I don't know, record algae concentration in bay threatens crab population, and then like, and then like, band from DC writes song about blue crabs was one of the items that day.
I saw the blue of a crab in the sand. He scurried off when I reached out my hand. He scurried away, he scurried away. Now there's driftwood and gulls on Chesapeake Bay. I fell in with a believer in ghosts. She showed me all of her photos as proof. And I wanted to see, but her camera was blurred. The spirits are free. But you never
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. I think I've done the podcast like 11 times or something, and it's always really fun to come do it. So thanks a lot, Brandon. My band's called Ugly Purple Sweater, and we're playing on May 2nd over at Club Heaven and Hell. you've gotten too drunk there before, also. Oh, good. We played there a little while ago, and towards the end of the set, the owner of the place really liked us, I guess, and he was like, "I'll give you all free shots if you keep playing." It's like we win double. Anyway, so we're happy to be playing there again. This is a song called Roatan, and it's about the importance of not cheating on your girlfriend when you're in a foreign country.
Yeah. easy life. There's no hustle or strife, just a silence as big as you want it. I leave the house and the reveler shouts, and I sing by myself by the water. There's a time and a place to go dancing. I'll lay here and drink myself to sleep. Comes out into the night and she tells me she likes how I whistle. And we call to the boats and it seems so remote how my girlfriend is sleeping back stateside. And but God knows that I would never. There's too many ways to feel alone. And then while we're standing alone on the boulevard, then while we're walking alone on the portico, telling her
much for listening.